More people can now borrow from themselves during the pandemic emergency. I'm David Brancaccio. One of the emergency COVID response laws passed by Congress lets people who have tax-protected retirement savings take it out without the extra tax penalty, individual retirement accounts, 401ks, 403bs, but only under certain circumstances. And now the IRS is making more families eligible. Marketplace's Scott Tong is here to help us get our heads around what is changing.
Well, originally, the CARES Act let you pull out up to $100,000 from your retirement and not pay a penalty if you were diagnosed with COVID-19 or your spouse was, if you were laid off or your business was shut down due to the virus, or if you were quarantined or for some reason you couldn't get child care. So that's a lot of categories. But as of Friday, there are more to reflect what's happening today. If you had a pay cut or your job was offered and then taken away, and this is the big one, if your spouse has any of the above, you can take up to $100,000 from your retirement. So for a household, that would be double the tax help. But David, we should point this out. Only about half the population has a retirement plan through work.
But let's also be clear, what is the tax benefit here if you or your spouse do qualify?
This is important. Normally, if you take this money out before you're 59 and a half, you pay regular tax, your normal tax rate, plus the 10% penalty. So right now, this would only excuse you from the penalty. You still owe regular taxes if you dip into your nest egg.
All right, in extraordinary circumstances, but you may be hurting your future self if you don't pay all this back during better times. So what, only break glass in an emergency?
That's the warning from several personal finance gurus, right? You still owe taxes and you're shrinking your retirement pot. So not an easy choice.
All right, Scott, thank you. American Airlines has been forced to raise another $3.5 billion in outside money to help make it through the dramatic turndown in air travel, given pandemic. It now has to sell off some of its stock and issue special bonds. Economist Julia Coronado is with Macro Policy Perspectives. Julia, what does this tell you? I mean, you can book a ticket on an airline right now. It's just that people are not so inclined.
The woes that the airlines are grappling with highlights that it's not a simple trade-off between the virus or the economy. It's got to be both. If people are watching the rising caseloads and fearful of travel, they're just not going to behave like they did a year ago or even at the beginning of this year. So any industry that's directly impacted by, you know, people being close to each other is still going to feel some pain.
Julia, thank you. France reopened public schools, pools, and movie theaters today. On Saturday, France recorded 284 new COVID infections. Compare that with Texas, with less than half the population that had nearly 4,000 new COVID infections that day. Some other numbers in early trading. The Dow is down 27 points, a tenth percent. The S&P is down 0.2%. The NASDAQ composite is now flat.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
With the mountain of debt the federal government is amassing in part from all the money it's spending during this pandemic, it helps that interest rates are so low, and there's renewed talk of an additional strategy, a little like the way that if you can't afford a car on a 5-year loan, they offer you a 7-year to string out the payments. To explain, here's Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Hi there.
Good morning, David.
So one way to manage this mountain of debt is to go really long.
Yes. How about 100 years? I mean, right now, the longest U.S. Treasury bond is 30 years. But the basic idea behind urging the federal government to issue century bonds is to lock in today's low rates. So the basic insight is no different than the homeowner. You lock in low rates with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. So then it doesn't matter if interest rates go up, if inflation goes up, you're still going to pay that low interest rate on a 30-year mortgage. Same idea.
All right. So we're talking about 100 years, which sounds like a really long time. But, you know, why stop there, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. The most intriguing idea that's out there is for the U.S. government to sell what's called perpetuals. Now, these are bonds, and they pay a fixed interest rate to investors. But the payments have no end date and no principal payments. So the bond exists until the federal government has a surplus or the timing is right, because the government has the right to repurchase their perpetuals at market prices.
Okay, and let me just be clear on the perpetual. It's not that they have to go long. It's possible that the government could, because the conditions are right, say, yeah, we're ready to pay you back.
That's right. And that's why it's a good debt management tool.
I mean, there really would be an investor who's willing to give the U.S. government money until start date 3342.6 and we have warp drive?
Well, when you put it that way, but history says yes. And here's the point. John Cochrane, he's a senior fellow at Hoover Institution, Stanford University, and he's really a thoughtful proponent of the Treasury selling perpetuals. But what he's convinced me, David, is it would be a smart debt management move for the Treasury to go bold, to go long, and embrace the perpetual.
Now, I did a lot of papers on European imperialism in college. I remember the Brits used these perpetuals during the British Empire.
Right. They almost became synonymous with the British Empire, right, in the 18th and 19th century. And it's intriguing that the last of the consuls were paid off in 2015. But this perpetual has a long history. I was doing a little bit of research, and you know, it's traced back to 8th century Europe. And even Alexander Hamilton used perpetuals to help refund the Revolutionary War debts of this newly independent United States. And the last of them were retired in 1835.
I understand now. Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thank you.
Alexander Hamilton. I don't know if you hear that name, you want to sing that song. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.